Hello and welcome to episode 2 of our ALS Association Greater Philadelphia Chapter podcast. My name is Tony Heil, your host for these podcasts. I'm the Communication Public Policy Director here at the Greater Philadelphia Chapter. As always, we have a variety of different guests and topics for this show, from people living with ALS to walk captains, advocates, board members, researchers, and today, members of our staff. I'm excited to bring to you someone who really needs no introduction. Her name is Joan Borowski, and she's been at the chapter for many, many years. She's seen the chapter from ups and downs. She's been here way before any ice bucket. She's been here before most of our walks. She's been here through a lot, good and not so good, with this disease. So I'm happy to share her perspectives. Let you know a little bit more about what she's done here and what we're both looking forward to, not just with the next few weeks, but the next year and beyond, and our fight together with all of you to defeat ALS. So, Joan, thanks for being part of the podcast. I'm excited that you're here.
I'm thrilled to be here. And for anyone who knows me, you don't have to wonder. I begged Tony Heil to let me do this because several reasons. First of all, I did not understand the purpose of a podcast initially. Now that I've heard Matt Bellina and Larry Kaplan in the first podcast.
Which you can see at alsphiladelphia.org/podcast.
Okay, thank you. And I did see it. I get it. I really get it. I don't mind telling you that I'm 58 years old, and I started here 18 years ago when I was just 40. So sometimes when you get to be a little older, as I am, you don't understand how vital something like a podcast can be. And who is it most vital to? I think it's most vital to our patients, because so many of our patients use the computer as their major source of communication with the outside world. And if you can't not communicate, then life becomes extremely difficult. So the value of these podcasts is twofold. One, to educate, and two, as a means of communication for our ALS patients and their families. And we're going to be covering a lot of topics in the next few weeks. I know Tony has a whole schedule, but the real reason that I begged Tony to allow me to do this is because, well, there are a couple. First of all, there has never been a day in my 18 years here that I didn't want to come to work. Never once. I love what I do. Why? Because I work with amazing people, and as far as I'm concerned, you cannot say no to the ALS cause. It is such an important cause.
And I have to say, to butt in, I started here less than 4 years ago, and I've worked in many different places, and I've never worked somewhere where that's the general mentality, where everyone here actually always wants to come into work. I hear on the radio people talking about, oh, it's Monday, oh, this. And sure, we look forward to the weekend, because who doesn't? But everyone here actually feels good about being able to do this job. They don't want the job. Everyone here wants us to be out of a job tomorrow because of the disease, but it's such a different atmosphere to so many other places you could work at.
I consider myself very fortunate. And the other thing that really stuck with me is I recently was talking to my boss, and he said to me, do you find it difficult when we lose people whom we've gotten to know and love to this horrific disease? And without missing a beat, I said, no. It makes me want to work that much harder. Yes, it's upsetting. But the overwhelming feeling that I have is, what can I do so that this does not happen to somebody else's wife, son, mother, brother, friend, colleague, daughter, you name it. ALS is non-discriminatory. And I have just seen too many people lose their lives to this disease. And it I cannot say that it upsets me. I can say that it makes me want to find a cure and treatments and help our ALS families even more so.
Well, that's, I think a lot of us feel the same way, whether it's you doing development and fundraising or me doing communications, people doing events, people doing patient care, all feel the same way. So we have a good sense of how people, the motivation and the energy that happens in our office, even on cold February days like this. But you started 18 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot smaller then. Was it very similar then in terms of the energy? Because there weren't as many people here then, right? And the mission wasn't exactly the same because we didn't have as much of a reach.
Well, we didn't even have the internet. So I needed a job, and I saw this job listed somewhere in some newspaper or publication. I came in, our office was in Bluebell. I went in for the interview. I barely knew what ALS was. There wasn't time for me to go to the library, and I didn't have a computer with an internet to look it up. But I had come from 10 years at a different nonprofit, so I understood the nonprofit world, and my background is in publishing and writing and also marketing. So I was well suited for the organization. And I came in and I met someone who has inspired me every single day for the last 18 years. I cannot believe she puts up with me. That would be Ellen Phillips. And it's not just me who she inspired. She inspires many people. And I met with her a man who sadly ultimately lost his life to ALS named Dick Cantor, who was an amazing, amazing man. I interviewed with both of them, jumped around the desk, showed them my portfolio, started looking at Ellen's desk to see information about ALS. They hired me. I started. Alisa Brownlee was here. She is our assistive technology specialist.
And she's going to be doing one of these podcasts soon. She's excited to do it.
She's a wealth of information. Alisa was the only person at that time who could get emails. Can you imagine? And she did it on a system called Prodigy. And she would print out the emails and hand them to us. So there were only about seven people working here. But we were a team, I must say that. And at that time, we had our clinic at a different medical facility in Philadelphia, and we had a clinic in Hershey that had just starting under Sue Walsh in Hershey and Dr. Zach Simmons, who are both still there.
And both still saints, by the way.
They are. So in any event, I was hired 18 years ago, and everything that we did had purpose and meaning, and I loved it from the start. You had mentioned things have changed a lot. I would say the thing that's changed the most is that we have a team in place who really, really, really know how to raise the money and the awareness that's so desperately needed for ALS. And that team works tirelessly for the ALS cause. I've seen us grow. We moved from Bluebell, then we moved to Fort Washington, and then we moved to our present location here in Ambler, Pennsylvania, Springhouse. And the computer has helped me. I now have two screens, but don't let that get out, please.
And, it's too late.
And I love it. And there is an influx of young people working here, people like Tony, who try and show me how to tweet and do all these things to get the word out about ALS. No, I'm not tweeting, don't worry. But I share things that I see on our webpage. I friend people on Facebook. And you just got to get the word out. As we all know, Nothing got the word out more, not in my 18 years here, than what happened this summer with the Ice Bucket Challenge. What did it do for us? Now I don't have to explain ALS to people. I go to a store, I tell somebody what I do, and they say, oh, the ice bucket disease. Fine by me. I don't care what they call it, as long as they know about it, care about it, and support it.
Well, and I know from after the challenge, and months later, even days after people did it, there's still a lot of people who didn't know so many things about ALS. They didn't realize it was a fatal disease. They didn't realize who got it. They didn't realize the services available, what happened to people. So, I mean, obviously we're extremely happy that it happened, but it's just a continued motivation. We got to keep doing a lot to educate people, and we have this opportunity to let more people know about what the disease is. So they did it, they're engaged, let's get them doing more, you know, whether it's donating or volunteering or advocating or whatnot.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever see another phenomenon like the Ice Bucket Challenge of the summer of 2014, but I agree with you completely. It was a wonderful experience, and we could never forget about what we still had to do, though. What this chapter exists is to help our ALS families. And when I started here and I saw our clinic, I was blown away. You could go to one place and be seen by as many as 10 or 11 specialists, a neurologist, an occupational therapist, a physical therapist, a speech pathologist, a mental health nurse, the list goes on and on, all in one place. Sadly, my mother was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease many years ago, and I insisted that she go to a Parkinson's clinic. So I schlepped her to Columbia University in New York City because I read that they had a great Parkinson's clinic, and they did. And Parkinson's is a very prevalent and well-known disease. But I have to tell you that the services offered by that clinic could not light a candle to the services that the ALS Association Greater Philadelphia Chapters clinics offer. I'm not in competition with them. I'm just saying, if you look online at all the services that we offer our ALS patients, it is astounding.
Well, that's why we want to be, a model for other things generally. Like I'm glad that we're in a position where we can hopefully be an example to not just other ALS Association chapters, because we've been around longer than most other chapters, but to other organizations. And sometimes we share goals, sometimes we can advocate together for certain things. And that's a good thing that we're not out there trying to compete against anyone else. We're able to say, hey, this works for our patient population. Maybe this is something that other people can take off on. And then a lot of our doctors and nurses have been involved with other things as well and can use their expertise in a lot of good ways. So while obviously we focus on ALS all the time, they're able to branch out and hopefully extend our reach for even other great goals and causes out there.
I agree completely. I think that neurological diseases really will only be solved if we can work together with these other organizations.
How often are we looking at research news, you and I specifically, because both of us had a family member with Parkinson's disease, and my mother has MS, and my grandfather was the one that had ALS. It's not all the same relation, but when we look at an article and they talk about the research going into one, and they mention that there's a possibility it'll help with the other things too. It'll just create more aware understanding for how this neuron does this, or how they can look and kind of get an aha moment for looking at that other disease. So yeah, there's all sorts of potential where hopefully we find the cure for ALS tomorrow, and it unlocks some answers for some other things down the road too.
I agree with you, Tony. It's a miracle. Well, I really
we should be in agreement. We work here.
But, okay, so that is also one of the things that I love about working here. I am not a research scientist, nor would I ever attempt to be one. Yeah. If somebody asks me about ALS research, 99.9% of the time, I refer them to our website, because it is so complex to describe. And it's important that they get it right. So our website is probably one of the most valuable tools the chapter has, and it just keeps getting better all the time. You have to understand, when I started here 18 years ago, there was no website. I don't even know if I knew what a website was at that time. Maybe. So research is vital, and it's fascinating, but I generally don't discuss research with people unless I have a lot of papers in front of me to refer to, because it's very complex.
Yeah, I try and push people to other videos that we have on our YouTube channel, to national, you know, that some of the things I always think, oh, I understand this now, but then there's something else that hopefully there's someone smarter than me on this issue that can get it. But so, like you said, there wasn't a website for ALS Philadelphia 18 years ago, but a lot of things have stayed the same, which is a good thing.
One thing that stayed the same are the people with whom I've gotten to work. And the premier group would, of course, be the Phillies. When I started here, the Montgomerys, Bill and Nancy Giles, the Clothiers, they were all involved, and they still are. Ruben Amaro Jr. was involved when I started here, and he still is. And we worked with Major League Phillies and minor league teams. I remember some major league players when they were in the minors. I met them at various events.
So you're like a talent scout for the Phillies.
I have a picture of myself with some of them.
I remember the picture with you and Chase Utley, right?
I know. I do have it framed in my cubicle.
If I had that, I would have it framed. It's probably worth something.
Yeah, I don't think he knows who I am. And then
I'm pretty sure that most of the Phillies who have met you once remember you for 10 years later.
Maybe. And I used to have to try and herd all the players together, and one of the Phillies called me Nurse Ratchet. That was what he called me from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. In any event, because I was very bossy to get everybody into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But working with the Phillies definitely helped put us on the map, if not put us on the map. And I can't tell you how often I'm approached by people who work for other nonprofits who say, how did you get that? How did you get that? Well, they haven't met Ellen Phillips, and Ellen's mom, Malvina, who I, believe it or not, knew before I worked here and had no idea that she was even related to Ellen. They approached Nancy Giles and decided that ALS belonged in baseball, and the rest is history. It's a story that gets told year after year, because after 30 years, it doesn't get old. We are so fortunate to have the Phillies on our team. When I say the Phillies, I mean every player, every manager, the people who seat you, the ushers, the people who sell. This is a true volunteer effort, and it starts at the top. And that team is amazing. And thank God I'm a big baseball fan. I'm originally from New York, but I did get over it. And I moved on to the Phillies. And I can't say enough good about that team.
Well, I was impressed because before I started here, I didn't know as much about that relationship. It wasn't something that I had followed much. And I remember going to a Phillies game wearing an ALS, Walk to Defeat ALS shirt. And the guy who was seating me started talking about the Phillies Festival. And it was, like you said, the people who did it. And then meeting people like Tony Burns and Michelle DeVicaris, who they would talk about the people who had ALS, like Kevin, and they would say them by first name, like just like they were family. And it was obvious it wasn't something they were just doing as a PR move. You know, it was just like so ingrained in their culture and had been for as long as you've been here, longer than you've been here, and you've been here forever. So,
well, that's one thing I did want to bring up if I have a second still here.
You have a lot of seconds.
Oh, good. The patients that I've met, I was kind of thinking about this, and I can't ever stop thinking about Shelby Oppenheimer. She was 28 years old when she was diagnosed. She's still living with ALS, and in a speech, she made a speech before Congress advocating for increased funding for ALS. She has been to Capitol Hill. She has spoken all over. Unfortunately, she can no longer do that. But Shelby is beautiful. Blonde hair. You think that she would have had it all. And at 28 years old, she was told by a neurologist that she had ALS. And she had no idea what that was. And she went to a bookstore. That's where we used to go, a bookstore or a library, to find out information. And she sat down and read about ALS, and then she cried. And she kept crying. And when she stopped crying, she knew that she had two choices. She could fade away and die, or she could make a difference. And Shelby, like so many other people in the ALS community, made the right decision. She decided to make a difference. And for years, Shelby was truly an ALS ambassador. Other patients, Kevin Glenn, I think he's had ALS as long as I've been here almost. I met him for the first time at the ALS clinic at Pennsylvania Hospital. He used to be a waiter. He's a musician. What you cannot forget is what Kevin was and what he still is inside and how vital he can be. And there are so many other patients like that who I met many, many years ago. The first ALS patient I met, and I do have to just say this, was Bill Hemsing. He was one of the first people who went to the Wadsworth Institute in New York State to learn how to use BCI, or Brain Computer Interface, which subsequently Scott Mackler, MD, PhD, was able to use successfully. Bill used it to some degree, but Bill was able to create beautiful artwork using what today is called an eye gaze system, using his computer. And he rekindled a love of art that he had to put aside while he was working on his career. He was the store manager for the Strawbridge and Clothier department store at the King of Prussia Mall. And when he got ALS, he was forced to resign and started going back to a former love, which was painting. And I remember meeting Bill and his daughter Tracy and his wife Nancy and his other daughter and his son. And it was just so much fun. And I went to their house. They lived in Audubon, Pennsylvania. And they were preparing to take a cross-country trip in a mobile van, like a mobile home. And they did it. And promoting ALS awareness and Bill's artwork. It was phenomenal. I'm going back 18 years at this point.
So he was doing those things with BCI 18 years ago almost?
Yes, but it took another 10 years to, and a man like Scott Mackler, MD, PhD, who was actually chronicled on
60 Minutes.
Right. And Scott is one of the few people who has been able to use it successfully, but I bet by the time this airs, you will be deluged with people saying, that woman is wrong. I know tons of people who use this technology now, and I'm hoping they do. So write in if you know a lot of people using this, because it is amazing. A computer actually reads your brain waves, and it's phenomenal. I used to correspond with Scott Mackler, and I would type in huge letters on the screen, and he would answer me by simply staring at the computer, and the computer would be able to read his brain waves, and he would answer me that way. He continued his research in cocaine addiction at the University of Pennsylvania and had his own lab there, despite living with ALS for, a long time. He was there.
Yeah, but it was like 15 years he had.
Yes, and every year he has a run in his name in Delaware that I encourage you all to participate in. Walk, run, wheel, whatever. And he single-handedly has done so much for assistive technology.
Him and his family.
Yes, I think you can tell by now that I love to talk.
Yes.
So for me, the worst part about ALS would be not being able to communicate. So I can't wait till Elisa Brownlee does her program, because I will have my headset in listening to that one. And Scott's, the program that still bears Scott's name, is vital.
Well, from, so, I mean, but Bill made such an impression on you 18 years ago.
Absolutely.
And you've mentioned others who, from the start, leave a very big impression. And that's a common thing here, in my experience even going to National, where people leave a big impression on everyone on our staff. You can't say that every person does, because it's, you know, some people we only meet briefly, but it's amazing that impression that people make that kind of motivates everybody that's here.
Every walk I go to, if I meet one patient with whom I can communicate, they leave a huge impression in my heart. I never forget them. It's a brutal, brutal disease.
Well, that's one of the best and worst things of going to a walk or other event is meeting new people. Because on the one hand, we get to meet some really great people, some sponsors, some volunteers. But then, unfortunately, of course, the main reason we meet new people is because someone new has been diagnosed. And then seeing them again months later and how the disease has progressed. But you almost want the walk to not grow. Obviously, we do, but you don't want to see new people, right? Because you don't want anyone else to have ALS.
I know. You know, as you probably know if you're listening to this, ALS can be very difficult to diagnose. And sometimes I think that's a good thing, because once you know you have ALS, you know what the outcome is going to be. But you have choices. You can choose to make a difference. You can choose to go to Washington, D.C., or Harrisburg, or Dover, Delaware, or Trenton, New Jersey, and advocate for the ALS cause. You can write to your congresspeople. You can join a walk team, form a walk team, start your own community partner event. You can make a financial contribution. You can leave a legacy and a planned gift to the chapter. You can, in the initial stages of your illness, you might even want to do volunteer work for the chapter, which is just fabulous. We couldn't be where we are without the scores of dedicated volunteers that we have.
Well, and speaking of walks, just to take a short break here, you can register for a walk to defeat ALS through our chapter anytime. You can go to www.gpcwalktodefeatals.org or alsphiladelphia.org. This spring, we have the Lakewood Walk to Defeat ALS in Lakewood, New Jersey on May 2nd. And then 2 weeks later, the Bloomsburg Jorge's Walk to Defeat ALS in Bloomsburg, PA on May 16th. And then the Hershey Walk to Defeat ALS on June 6th. That's at Hershey Medical Center in Hershey, PA. All of those are fun, great events, lots of awesome team shirts. People come out. You never know what surprises you'll get. You can check from our Facebook page. Maybe the Sharks from the Katy Perry's halftime show will be there. And then we have their fall walks in Rehoboth Beach and in Ocean City, New Jersey, in September. The Lehigh Valley Walk to Defeat ALS in October, and then the Greater Philly Walk, our biggest walk, which is in November at Citizens Bank Park. So last year in 2014, over 15,000 people came to one of our walks. It was our biggest walk year ever. But there's no reason why 2015 can't be even bigger. So please sign up again, gpcwalktodefeatals.org, and follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/ALSPhiladelphia, on Twitter, @ALSPhiladelphia, and every other social media channel. Get your team together now, because as Joan knows, the walk is really a great event with a lot of energy to raise money and awareness for this cause.
Okay, can I butt in now?
Yes, that's why you're here.
Okay.
I want to let people know how they can get involved.
The walks are fabulous. They are our largest signature fundraising event, for sure. The Phillies Festival, which this year is June 1st.
Yes, it is.
Is also an incredible event, and I urge you to come to the Phillies Festival, and you've got to take an ad in the program book, because it's awesome. It's got pictures of all the players, whoever they may be. It's got pictures of the announcers, the front office staff. It's great. Okay.
Yeah, but and the Phillies Festival, the Phillies, since 1984, raised over $15.2 million for the cause.
Hold it.
And the festival is always an incredible event, so I'm just agreeing with you, Joan.
Okay, but wait. My point is this. Those are huge events. We couldn't do it without every single small event as well. And so if it's just a community partner event and you want to do Zumba at your gym and raise money, that's just as important. So I'm always thinking of the little guy too. So,
well, not even so little. Like you said, there's the Mackler event, which has raised a lot of money for 15 years. And you've had a lot of events you've gotten to be a part of.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Sometimes they're big events. Sometimes you just go because they're fun. You're more likely to go to a lot of these events than other people are. I mean, for me, it's sometimes hard timing-wise to get to events. But what are some of the fun events you've been a part of or looking forward to this year?
Okay, I'll be quick. My first and foremost, I've known Patty Lake Quinn and Dan Quinn for 18 years. The Billy Lake Beef and Beer is having a new spin this year, and you have to come to it. Do you know what date it is? It's in March. And
you can get the details at alsphiladelphia.org.
Right. And the cool thing is it's tied into March Madness, and it's at a bar, Tip O'Leary's in Havertown. They have been running this for well over 20 years. There's also a basketball marathon that they do every year in October at Haverford College. And Haverford College donates their gorgeous gym. And we have coaches Phil Martelli of St. Joe's, Franny Dunphy of Temple, and other area basketball coaches who pitch in, come out. Six area basketball teams from high schools come. It's a great day of basketball. I urge you to join that as well. And for the last 18 years, I've had the privilege of working with Len and Sue Lodish. And I will tell you on this podcast, this is the 20th anniversary of their tandem bike ride. This year, they're riding from Wheeling, West Virginia to Louisville, Kentucky, down the Ohio River.
You're breaking news.
Breaking news. And it starts Memorial Day weekend. You have got to join them. The way to join them is to make a donation. www.alsphiladelphia.org/Lodish. Once you make a donation, you get Len and Susan's Notes from the Road, which chronicle every inch of their bicycle journey from hills to tigers to you name it. They've been there, seen there. They had been to Turkey.
There will
to
probably
Israel,
be less tigers
to
this time
China.
Than previous.
Yeah, you think there's going to be a tiger like there was in the Super Bowl last night, probably.
Was there a tiger in the Super Bowl?
I think Len and Susan are going to be on top of that tiger.
The one that Katy Perry ran.
Katy Perry, they loaned it to Len and Susan. Anyway.
Well, if they knew that, we would raise a lot more money to you. But that's really cool about the Lotuses and Patty Lake and Dan Quinn. Because,
but there are also new events, too.
It's just incredible how many people have been doing things for many years. It's really inspiring to me because, not that we want them to stop, but they could justifiably say, you know, it's just been too much. I can't do it this year. But over and over again, people continue to do things. And I think that helps motivate the staff and board, too, knowing that these people like Len and Susan and Patty and Dan and others, you know, they don't give up ever. They've been doing it for so long.
And the Macklers. It's astounding to me. I would just reach a point where I would almost say, okay, I need to move on from that. And none of these people say that. They're not going to move on until we find a cure. So how the heck can I do that? I wouldn't. They're stuck with me here in my chair. I'm not going anywhere until we find a cure and more effective treatments for this disease. Because if those people whose lives have been so deeply affected by it will never give up, how can I possibly do that? I just can't. That's what happens. And
I think a lot of other people share the same message. That reminds me of someone else who shares that same motivation. that's been doing the same thing for over 20 years. We've been talking about it lately. Is Jeff Abrams and his wife Margaret. They, with the Abrams in-home care appeal, that's something that means a lot to me. I was doing some in-home care stuff, advocacy-wise, before I joined here, and realizing that we have a service where people with ALS can get up to 10 hours of in-home care to help them out and help their families, and that they've been doing that care for 20 years.
It's what happened is Jeff's dad, Howard Abrams, established this program 20 years ago. He was living with ALS, and he was able to stay in his own home surrounded by his loved ones during the course of his illness. He lived with ALS for many years and eventually lost his life to pancreatic cancer, not ALS, in a very, very, very cruel twist of fate. Jeff and Margaret Barry, his wife, have kept the program going and will match any donation up to $25,000 that you make to in-home care. Now, 10 hours a week is amazing. And for Heather Hildebrandt's family, whom you'll see chronicled in this year's appeal, 10 hours is awesome. They have a young baby, and Steve Hildebrandt's dad has moved in with them to help care for Heather, who's living with ALS. But think about it, really. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could give them more than 10 hours? Wouldn't it be amazing if when Steve, Heather's husband, came home from work, he didn't have to immediately jump into the role of father, husband, cook, cleaner, and he could just sit down and talk and be with Heather and his daughter, Elsie Moore? Well, the only way we can give more hours of care is if more people support the program. It is, to me, one of the most incredible programs we offer in-home care. I don't think that any other chapter, I'm 99% sure, has any program like this. They might have something on the cusp of this, but no other chapter has such a coordinated in-home care program. And Wendy Barnes, who manages this program, does an outstanding job. And most of the families with whom I've spoken in the last 18 years who have used this program will tell us that it is a godsend, and that the in-home care aide who was sent to them by the Abrams program has changed their lives. They don't know what they would do without him or her. And all I can think is, well, if they could come for an extra hour in the morning and help with daily living activities like feeding and bathing and things that we take for granted, it would make everyone's life so much better.
And in listening to Jeff talk about the program and what it meant to his family to be able to do this and the importance of it, and then listening to Wendy and Brenda, our head of patient care services, talk about it, it's really incredible to me that they're not just saying, well, we're going to write some money for in-home care, that they really invest in the quality of the care. They talk to the patient families. They say, well, this is what's working, what's not. And that's really a great thing to come to work and know that not only are we helping to deliver care, but we have social workers who are doing everything they can to make sure that it's the best possible for those people. And that's a really cool thing to be able to come to work and be a part of.
I agree with you. I am forever amazed by our patient care team, otherwise known as patient services. I keep trying to change the name to patient care. In any event, I know that if you've read Tuesdays with Maury, one of the statements in the book is death ends a life, not a relationship. And once ALS has affected a family, and someone has lost his or her life to the disease, our chapter is still here for the family. I see our patient care team go to funerals. We have support and bereavement groups. We have, we call that family. We send them letters to make sure they're doing okay. We just don't go away. And, okay, on to the next thing.
Well, and like you said, the relationship continues just like Scott Mackler's family. That relationship has not ended and is just continued the same amount even after Scott unfortunately passed away. Billie Lake passed away 20 years ago, and Patty and her family are still just as involved as ever. You know, Len and Susan still are very much involved, even if that life ended from their family, the relationship to Jules and to the cause continues. And then, of course, Ellen, you know, her husband sadly passed away 30 years ago, but that relationship still hasn't ended. She continues. And for us, and for the Phillies, too, who have met many people with ALS, those, when they meet someone and that ALS takes their life, the relationship is still so important and just continues to motivate people all the time. And I think that, you know, that's a challenge to everyone emotionally and, spiritually, but it also just is an incredible motivating factor to everyone involved. And it's really powerful to me to see people like Jeff Abrams, like all these other people who continue that relationship for so long. And like you, because you said, you know, people you met 18 years ago, like Bill, you know, he may have passed away, but you still maintain that connection to him and to the cause that kind of grabbed you early on in your job here.
Absolutely. And I still see members of his family, and I love to. So if you're listening to this, you probably have an ALS connection somehow. But if by some miracle you do not, I hope that this helps you understand a little bit more about what it's like to work here. And I close my eyes and I picture myself coming to work in the snowstorm. They close the office. I'm here anyway.
Well, when there's a snowstorm, we can still work from home.
Yeah, we can. But
and that's only the good thing if the roads are a sheet of ice. There's other ways to get your work done.
I understand that, but I'm very attached to my cubicle. And likewise, I'm sure. So
right, it's almost like you're a Lego piece.
Exactly. But I'm closing my eyes, and I'm imagining myself walking up the steps. It is absolutely amazing that I've been walking up those steps or other steps for 18 years. God, I was only 40 years old. I looked a lot better, but that has nothing to do with my job. And I always wanted to turn the key in the door. I always want to go to my desk. I want to turn on my computer and start immediately. I don't want to go around and chit-chat, although I do from time to time.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot to say.
Well, a lot of times you don't necessarily chit-chat. Sometimes we come to our desks and there's a gift of a pencil or some other thing that we don't know exactly what it is.
It's not Valentine's Day yet, Tony. Just wait.
Well, it was Groundhog's Day today. We didn't get anything from you.
I know. I'm sorry. I will unleash some rodents throughout the office.
Please don't. It's okay.
Okay, no. I really just closed my eyes and every time a committee's meeting here, a patient comes in, a volunteer comes in to stuff envelopes, somebody's kid comes in to do the ice bucket challenge, it's awesome. We get school groups helping us at walks. We get sororities and fraternities. Why? Because someone's life has been touched by ALS. And once you come here, once you're part of the cause, you don't just do it because you have to do it, because you have to do some sort of community service. You're here because you know that you're making a difference. Every little thing you do makes a difference.
Now, how many volunteer profiles have we written where I've come to someone and said, oh, I'm writing about so-and-so, and they started, why did they start? They're like, oh, they just came in one day, and they're still here 10 years later.
Yep.
We can name a lot of people like that.
Well, when we select the volunteers of the month, it is extraordinarily difficult. It is one of the hardest tasks because we have so many great volunteers. Out of everything, my really favorite thing to do is sit at my computer and write. I would just write away about the people I've met, the stories I've been told, all about the ALS community. Because we are truly united, and I feel that it's because of the ALS Association Greater Philadelphia Chapter, the people who are at the helm of the organization, all the way down to me, we all contribute, and it's a pleasure. And I think I am the luckiest person to be able to work here. And if anyone wants to bake cookies, that's okay. And that's pretty much how I feel. I don't want to be here another 18 years because I want there to be a cure. I really do. Well, I never thought I'd be here this long. And I'm sure there are many people who want to throw me out the window. But honestly, I just want there to be a cure. I've met many inspiring people. I've met many wonderful people and families. Just recently, we have this event called Monzo Madness. And we come in, we do basically so little with a check for $32,000. It totally blows my mind how a group of high school students can do that. It's difficult enough to get your kids up and out the door to school. And I will say one thing. My three daughters grew up with me working at the ALS Association. And it has, I believe, made them better people. They have met patients and families. They know what I do. And they take it seriously. And they know what it is when somebody will work all night to get a project done because they care that much. And I think I'm very fortunate to have been able to work here and to have my daughter see what it's like to be in an atmosphere of a lot of love. And I hope that they will find that in their careers. They're all just starting, but it can happen.
Well, I think that a lot of people here can talk about how the working here has affected their families in positive ways. And I'm sure that in the future podcasts, we'll be talking to people about that. But if you want to help put Joan and I out of a job, get us closer to a cure, you can come to one of our events in 2015. There are 7 Walk to Defeat ALS events. There's hot chocolate on March 12th at Adventure Aquarium with many sponsors, including Biota Home Healthcare. And there's the Phillies Festival on June 1st and many other events and causes happening right now that you can get involved with. Please go to www.alsphiladelphia.org. You can like us and get involved on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and maybe others at ALS Philadelphia to continue raising awareness. Please, you can look for Joan and I at a lot of events this coming winter and spring. We'll both be taking pictures, and we both can't wait to see a lot of new people here, and we introduce ourselves. Joan, is there any event? What events are you looking forward to most, briefly? Is there anything that you're excited about coming up?
Everything. I love everything. I think I'm going to get to go to Advocacy Day this year. I haven't been in a while because it seems that one of my children has been graduating college every single year during Advocacy Day, but I very much want to go.
And none of them are graduating this year.
Nobody is graduating from anything this year.
Well, that's terrific.
So I would have to say that Advocacy Day, I can't wait to go because it's such an empowering day, and I remember it so well. I remember it from when the Schillings, Shonda and Kurt Schilling, used to come when they were heavily involved in the ALS cause. And there are some families who have gone who've never missed an Advocacy Day. Mm-hmm. I don't think Ben Ornstein has ever missed an Advocacy Day. I don't think Patty Lake Quinn or Dan Quinn have ever missed an Advocacy Day.
I think there have been a couple that they've been unable to, but they've still been involved in many ways. But I know, you know, the Rosas have been involved, the Delaney's have been involved, many other families, the Jane Cawthorn, a number of other people have been involved in every advocacy effort possible. But if you want to come to Advocacy Days either locally or hopefully you'll come to Washington, D.C. with us this May, you can email me, tony@alsphiladelphia.org, and maybe you'll get paired with Joan in Capitol Hill. That'd be great.
And I'm serious. I want my phone to ring off the hook. Can I give my phone number to these people?
Your work number, if you want.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. You can call me because I will answer any questions that I can. Probably not about research, but anything else. And that is 215-664-4128. I hope my phone is ringing off the hook because you want to be even more involved. Thank you so much for letting me do this, Tony. I had a blast.
I could tell you had a blast. It was fun listening to all your stories, and we'll look forward to making some new stories this year, all year long, with your help. Again, ALSPhiladelphia.org. We look forward to all of our great supporters this year. Thanks so much, Joan, and we'll look forward to seeing everyone soon.